Committee will come to order. Please call the roll.
Senator Cidio.
Present.
Cidio here. Dutton. Dutton here. Oropeza. Onnestad. Onnestad here. Steinberg.
Here.
Steinberg here.
Quorum has been established. No, Senator Oropeza is out ill today. Otherwise, she would be here. Number one, reference of bills. Is there any questions, concerns? So moved by Senator Onnestad. Please call the roll.
Senator Cidio. Cidio, aye. Dutton.
Aye.
Dutton, aye. Oropeza. Onnestad.
Aye.
Onnestad, aye. Steinberg.
Aye.
Steinberg, aye.
All right. File item number two is a request from Senator Cox, the chair of the Senate Local Government Committee, to withdraw AB 155 Mendoza from Senate appropriations to Senate rules for consideration of re-referral to Senate local government. I don't know if there's anyone here from Senator Cox's office or if Senators Dutton or Onnestad want to speak to this measure. Okay. And I'd like to respond. Senator Cox, I think is, and I say this in a very complimentary way, is sort of the dean of procedure, if you will, when it comes to the Senate. And he often raises these issues, and sometimes they're very valid. In this instance, though, I don't think the motion is necessary for this reason. The amendments that are now in the bill narrow the bill. They narrow the bill. Currently, the bill allows the SIDLAC committee to make a decision essentially overturning a municipality's decision to declare bankruptcy. The amendments to the bill narrow it by only making the SIDLAC decision, if you will, a recommendation, with the ultimate authority still existing with the city council or the municipality to determine whether or not to declare bankruptcy or not. So it is now a less strong version than what existed before. And re-referrals, I think, are appropriate where there is a new or different subject matter, certainly if a bill is amended up to give it more power or authority. But in this case, it's being narrowed. And I think it... it's appropriate for the bill now to be moved, sit in appropriations. Its disposition will be dealt with on the floor. Yes, sir.
The rule does not say whether it has been amended up or down or narrowed or widened. The rule says substantially amended. Even by your own words just now, it has been substantially amended. It should go back to policy committee.
Right, I think we may have a disagreement in terms of interpretation, but there's a motion on the dais. Senator Cidio.
You know, the rule allows for interpretation, and I think we have to look at the facts and try to analyze what's reasonable, right? Because there's a reasonable standard in terms of what that means, and so, for example, I mean, we wouldn't ask, for example, if say somebody was going to build a stadium and they had gone through the EIR process and they had made plans and then somebody came back and made a smaller footprint and changed those plans, we think it would be unreasonable to then go ask for another EIR report.
Hypothetically speaking,
all of us would right. find that not efficient, not effective. I think it's the same in this instance. A substantial change, I think the meaning of that is changes it substantially in terms of its intent or its breadth or its impact. And in, as you indicated, the change, if we dare call it substantial, is one that doesn't do that. And so I concur with you, Mr. Chair.
So the motion is to Senator Dutton, of course.
Yeah. The only concern I have, I don't know this bill. I don't read this bill. I haven't heard this bill. And maybe that's where the real problem is. The only thing I know is we got a committee chair that feels it's important for that bill to come back to their committee. And, you know, I thought we always kind of we put a lot of responsibility onto the committee chairs. And I just hate to start a practice to where I'm going to second guess what a committee chair feels they may or shouldn't be doing, because there's some committee chairs that are doing things that, frankly, I think we probably ought to step in and do some things about anyway. But
they don't want to close that option out.
All right, well, anyway, that was my only concern.
No, and point well taken. Usually, when a bill is re-referred back to the committee, it's usually upon agreement between the author, for example, at the time the bill moves, and the committee. In this instance, Senator Cox is making the request, you know, on his own here. So I just...
That's the other thing. If it was a timing issue, there might be some other reasons why we wouldn't want to extend the courtesy, but that would be my
and
only
I,
thought.
I just say, I know for myself, I always go out of my way to err on the side of courtesy wherever possible. This instance, I just don't think it is appropriate or necessary. Okay. All right, so the motion is to re-refer the bill back to the Senate Local Government Committee. Chair recommends a no vote.
Senator Cedillo?
No.
Cedillo, no. Dutton?
Aye.
Dutton, aye. Oropeza, Onnisted?
Aye.
Onnisted, aye. Steinberg?
No.
Steinberg, no.
Motion fails. 2-2. Okay. Thank you. To file item number 3, Senate Bill 1057 by Senator Denham. And Senator Denham is here, talking about Veterans Day and state office closure. Senator Denham, want to make a brief, please, brief presentation. Appreciate it.
Happy to make it very brief, Mr. Chairman, members. SB 1057 would require all state agencies, including the legislature, to recognize Veterans Day on November 11th each year. This bill was inspired by a letter to the editor in the Sacramento Bee, from Marion Fornes of Rancho Cordova, whose late husband served in this country in the United States Air Force for 20 years. On April 14th, this bill passed Veterans Affairs Committee with a bipartisan vote, no votes. This will honor all brave men and women who've served this country on Veterans Day holiday properly. And I would ask for your aye vote. Very simple bill.
I'm fine with the bill. Sounds appropriate. Thank you for bringing it forward. Mr. Connaty?
Mr. Chairman, Pete Connaty, representing the California Association of County Veterans Service Officers, Vietnam Veterans of America, the AMVETS, better known as the America Veterans, and the American Legion. We're all in support of the bill, and I'll forego my two-hour speech on the history of Memorial Day.
It's Veterans Day.
Yeah.
Pardon me?
Veterans Day.
I was going to wish everybody a happy Memorial Day.
Well, happy Memorial Day, and you know, we always want to do right by our veterans here, and I can understand it. I mean, I can understand the impetus for this. So these holidays over time, you know, have become, not just this holiday, but a lot of holidays have become another day off. And to prove my point, what day is Lincoln's birthday versus Washington's birthday? Do you know that? It's a question for the witness under oath.
February 12th.
For who?
Lincoln.
Okay, for Washington?
19th.
Nope.
21st?
22nd. All right. We'll,
I would agree.
We'll send you your consequence later.
So move.
So move. Call the roll.
I voted for this in committee, but there were some concerns that were brought up. I see the little signage there. I'm not quite sure I'd do it simply because for that reason. I'm not quite sure, although I do accept the representations and there were many veterans in the hearing, and so I do take it that this is important to them. But there are these things of MOUs that have to be addressed, three-day holidays. I mean, there's a lot. It's a little more complicated than simply doing that. And some vets who will be concerned about it as well, who are going to say, hey, wait a minute, now I got to miss, you know, I get honored on Wednesday, but I got to come back to work Thursday and Friday and don't get to take care of my family and my kids and do these types of things.
Took your concerns in the Veterans Affairs Committee and have addressed those. Very clearly, if Veterans Day falls on the 11th, as far as the union contract, so that they don't affect the MOUs if it's on a Saturday. Veterans Day falls on a Saturday. They would get the Friday off previous. If it falls on a Sunday, the additional day off would be on the Monday. But if it does fall on, if the 11th of November is on a Wednesday, it's Wednesday that you would observe Veterans Day.
All right, call the roll, please.
Senator Cedillo.
Aye.
Cedillo, aye. Dutton.
Aye.
Dutton, aye. Oropeza, Onnestad.
Aye.
Onnestad, aye. Steinberg.
Aye.
Steinberg, aye.
4-0. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. We now have, tell you what, I mean, let's look at 4 through 12 here. Does any member of the committee want to separate any of the items here?
Number 11.
Senator Dutton wants to separate number 11.
That's all.
That's all. So let's take up, and Senator Cedillo, you're okay with 4, correct?
I am okay with 4.
Okay, so let's take 4 through 12 with the exception of 11. Moved.
So moved.
Moved by Senator Onstead. Call the roll, please.
Senator Cedillo.
Cedillo, aye.
Cedillo, aye. Dutton.
Aye.
Dutton, aye. Oropeza. Onnestad.
Aye.
Onnestad, aye. Steinberg.
Aye.
Steinberg, aye.
All right, that passes 4. Those pass 4-0. File item 11, which is proclaiming June 2010 as Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, and Transgender Pride Month. Let's take it up. I mean, I think it's going to have to be reconsidered.
But I mean, we haven't even done Cinco de Mayo yet, so we're
yeah,
way
well,
ahead of the game.
Without objection, why don't we? We put it over, okay?
That's fine.
All right. Then we have one walk-on from Mr. Ashburn. The First Lady of Nigeria is visiting the calendar. A great name, Mrs. Patience Jonathan. So moved.
Senator Cedillo.
Aye.
Cedillo, aye. Dutton.
Aye.
Dutton, aye. Oropeza, Onnestad.
Aye.
Onnestad, aye. Steinberg.
Aye.
Steinberg, aye.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Anything else to come before the committee?
Go out and get my time.